Like this morning to turn to the book of Exodus, chapter 21. Book of Exodus, chapter 21. I'd like to read the first six verses. Exodus 21, verses 1 through verse 6. Now these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them. If thou buy a Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve, and in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. If he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master hath given him a wife, and she hath borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's, and he shall go out by himself. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free. Then his master shall bring him unto the judges. He shall also bring him to the door, or unto the doorpost. And his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. In Exodus chapter 20, we read of the Ten Commandments. And then here in chapters 21 through 23, there are some regulations that God gave the people of Israel along with the Ten Commandments. He gave these regulations to Moses to govern the people so that they would be blessed in the land that he had promised to give them. And these laws or regulations were designed to keep Israel safe, prosperous, and happy. They were designed to enable them to enjoy life, and they were designed to promote the good of the people. That's true of all good laws, and all of God's laws are good. This particular passage that we have read for our text contains regulations concerning Hebrew slaves. Now, in our society, when we read this passage, people are prone to think slavery is wrong. Why didn't God just make a law against it? Why didn't God forbid such a thing? But you see, in our society, we think of slavery as the cruel slave trade that stole people and took them and forced them to labor. But that's not what this is talking about. The slavery allowed under Jewish law is very different. And we see here that there were many regulations given to control slavery and to confine it within very narrow bounds. Slavery or servitude, whatever you want to call it, really was a very important social function for the nation of Israel. A person could become a slave to pay off his debts by serving for a period of times, the debts would be repaid and the person was then free from his obligation. Poor people could seek refuge by becoming a servant. In exchange, they would receive food, clothing, and housing. Thieves could make restitution by a period of service. There are some very good principles taught here but that's not our message. The slavery or servitude allowed under Jewish law was actually a provision to help people and to provide them with a fresh start. That was the purpose. Now, let's say if we lived in those days and our business has failed. We have lost everything. We cannot pay our debts. It looks like we're going to be ruined for life. There is no Social Security. My family is probably going to starve. But you see, the law made it possible in such a situation for me to sell myself into slavery in order to pay off my debts and to save my life and my family's life, and really in order to get a new start. And the law guaranteed me a new start, because after 6 years, I was free to go. I was free to return home. After 6 years, I had to be released. And that's what this passage is all about. It is the regulations concerning the setting free of slaves in their seventh year of service. So we see that servitude was limited by law to a maximum of 6 years. And in the seventh year, the servant was permitted to go free. The law was very specific. The Hebrew slave could only serve 6 years. And then he had to be let go. But there was one exception to the law, or to the rule. The exception was, what if the slave, after his 6 years were up, did not want to leave? What if this slave, after 6 years, didn't want to return to his former life? And he didn't want to leave because he had it good in his master's house, because he was treated well by his master, because he had been well provided for. But more important than all that, because he loved his master. And this individual wants to stay. After 6 years, he was legally free to go. But he could choose to stay. And it was a voluntary choice. It was not something that could be forced upon him. And if this slave made this choice to stay, we read here that there was a ceremony that they were to perform to make it official. The slave has plainly told his master, "Master, I don't want to leave. I want to stay here." So the master would then bring the slave before the judges. And the master and the slave would then proceed to plainly tell the judges of this slave's decision. And then the judge, of course, would determine whether or not this slave was being forced or coerced in any way. And if not, then together, master and servant, they would go by the door, or against the doorpost, and I believe this is of the master's house. And the master would then take an awl or a nail and would drive it through the lobe of the servant's ear into the doorpost. The servant would then walk back into the house with his master. And I believe every time that ceremony took place in Israel, you can just imagine God looking down from heaven and saying, "That's what I want. That's what I want. A people who will take the freedom that I have given them, but then use it to walk with me and serve me." And God is saying, "That's what I want." Willing service. So we want to speak this morning on the subject of a picture of true service. And we have that here. When a Hebrew was set free in his seventh year but decided to have his ear pierced to his master's house and remain with his master, that slave was declaring a number of things. You'll notice in verse 5, "And if thy servant shall plainly say." And this servant was plainly declaring a number of things. But we want to look at six particular things that this servant declared. He was plainly saying, "I have chosen," or "I have made my choice. I have made my choice." After 6 years, the servant was brought to a place in his life where he had to make a choice. He had two choices, and only two. He could leave, or he could stay. Those were his choices. You will notice with those two choices, there is no middle ground. He had to leave or he had to stay. No middle ground. No halfway point. You see, that's our problem today. We are faced with choices all the time, and we're always trying to find somewhere in the middle. But we have two choices. We can leave, or we can stay. There is no middle ground. If you are trying to find your place somewhere in the middle, you are trying to do something that is impossible. For there is no middle. In our text, the servant would do one of two things. He would leave his master and his master's house, or he would remain with his master in his master's house. There was no room for indecision. And the decision was his. To remain a servant was his decision. It was not a decision that could be made for him. It was not something that he could be forced into. It was not something that he could be bribed into. All the master could do was to bring the servant to the judges. But it had to be the servant's own choice to remain a servant in the master's house. Likewise, God's people are often brought to such places in their lives. We've all been there. And we'll all be there again. There are times in our lives where we are brought to a place and we have got to make a decision. We are either going, and at that point in our lives, we are either going to leave the master or we're going to stay. And there is no middle ground. And if you're trying to find the middle ground, you're wasting your time. And let me assure you, if you are trying to find the middle ground, you have already made your decision. You're leaving. You're leaving. You're not staying. You're leaving. There was no middle ground. But we're all brought to those places. We have got a choice to make. Life consists of choices. And futures are fashioned by the choices that we make. This servant's future would be fashioned by the choice he made that day. The rest of his life would be fashioned. But I assure you today, in all of our choices and all of our decisions, there's none more important than spiritual decisions and spiritual choices. And I believe that almost every choice we make involves our spiritual life. So it all comes down spiritual choices, and that's why we read, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." So the roads are before us. And may I say that all roads lead to service. All roads lead to some kind of service. In other words, you are going to serve somebody. I don't care what road you take. You are going to choose, or you are going to serve somebody. You see, Eve thought she was choosing freedom, but she chose captivity. You're going to serve somebody. Notice in Joshua 24, this is made so plain. Joshua 24, verse 15. "If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord," and there's a lot of people, that's true, "choose you this day whom ye will serve." Now the choice here is not between God and false gods. He's talking to those, if it seem evil to you to serve the Lord. You're not going to serve Him. You don't want to serve Him. Then choose who you will serve. "Whether they be gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell." Choose your gods. Either way, you're going to serve. And then Joshua said, "As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord." You see, again, Eve thought she was choosing freedom, but really was choosing captivity. And we do the same thing. When we choose to go our own way instead of God's ways, you have chosen a life of captivity. You have not chosen freedom. You have chosen a life of captivity. When you continue to run your life by your own rules rather than God's rules, you have chosen a life of captivity. We're going to serve somebody. But we become God's servants when we choose to surrender our lives to Him, when we give ourselves to Him unconditionally. Now, this servant who chose to serve his master for the rest of his life was plainly saying, "I have chosen to spend the rest of my life under the government of my master, rather than go back to my own life." We need to come. Every child of God needs to come to the point in their life where they realize God has every right to every area of your life. And the sooner we submit to that, the better off we will be. The servant who chose to remain with his master was saying, I have voluntarily. No one has made this decision for me. I have voluntarily chosen to be surrendered to the government of my master. I have voluntarily chosen to give up myself to the will of my master and to do only what the master wants. I have voluntarily chosen to serve the interest of my master. I prefer my master over all others. I have chosen to remain in my master's house and to submit myself to the rules of my master's house. You see, this servant was plainly saying, I have made my choice. And for the rest of my life, I will serve my master. Oh, that God's people would plainly say to all the world, and we see this, this was a public ceremony. This was something that was publicly known, that everyone might know, I have chosen, I have voluntarily chosen. No one is making me. No one is forcing me. I have voluntarily chosen to serve God the rest of my life. And God is pleased. And that's the kind of service that God wants. Willing service. That's what we read in Exodus 35 in verse 5. They who are of a willing heart. That's what God wants. You that are children, now you are made to come to church. One day you'll be free. One day you'll be free to go. But you'll have a choice to make, and there's only two. You'll either leave or you'll stay. Those are the only two choices. And I know many have tried to find the middle road, but guess what? There is none. Secondly, he was plainly saying, this is brought out in verse 5, and if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master. It was a choice constrained by love. The servant, what he was saying was, I love my master too much to leave him. Oh, today, you see, we turn this all around. Oh, Brother Dan, you don't understand. I love my family too much. I love the church, but I love my family. That shouldn't be a contest. There should be no contest there. We ought to be able to say, I love my master too much to leave him. The Lord has drawn us when we would not come. And we ought to plainly say today, I love my master. He has imparted life to us when we had none. He has redeemed us. He has delivered us. He has reconciled us. And our lives ought to plainly say, I love my master. I love the Lord. He has put me into the very family of God. He has made me accepted in the very person of Christ. And our lives ought to say, I love my master. He has justified us when we were condemned. And our lives ought to plainly say, I love my master. I love my master. And you see, that's what this servant would do. He would plainly declare at the end of 6 years, he was free to go. He was free to do whatever he wanted to do. But he said, I can't go. I love my master. I won't go back. Because I love my master. He's saying, I voluntarily choose to remain with my master and to serve him. Why? Because I love him. And that's what it's all about. Serving God because you love him. If you can't do it because you love him, there's nothing else that'll ever cause you to do it. Nothing. And that's the problem today. That is why so many have such a difficult time serving the Master, because they don't love him like they ought to. But this servant, it was as if he was presented no choice. I can go, but I love my Master, and I can't bear the thought of living the rest of my life without the Master. I can't bear the thought of living the rest of my life apart from the Master's house. I'll stay. Because I love my Master. The third thing that he was plainly saying is, I have acknowledged my debt to my Master. Notice verse 5. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master. And notice that's first. I love my master. That's first and foremost. And that's what constrains us to make the choice. I love my master. But then he goes on. My wife and my children. I will not go out. He had married a wife who was given to him of his master. And they had children together during those 6 years. The law was that if during that 6 years he married a wife, if he chose to leave, he left his wife and his children behind. In this case, this servant had married a wife who was given to him of his master. But what we have here is the servant recognizing that all the blessings that he was enjoying had come from the master's hand. There is a great need today for God's people to acknowledge, first of all, that we are blessed. We are blessed of God. And that God has opened His hand. And God has blessed us abundantly. And acknowledging that and loving the Master, we say, all that I have, I owe to God. It is God who has so wondrously blessed. It is God who is so graciously blessed. And I choose to remain with my Master. I can go free. I can go out into the world. But I acknowledge that everything I have, I owe to God. I owe to the Master. And the servant says, I will not go. I want to stay. Fourthly, he was plainly declaring not only his love for the Master, he was plainly declaring his love for his wife and his children. I love my master, my wife, and my children. He chose to remain with the master because of his love to the masters. But there were some other reasons that he chose to stay. That wife and those children. The servant in the text is saying, I love my master. and I will not go. But the servant also was saying, he would look at his wife and he would look at his children and he would say, for their sakes, I must stay. For their sakes, I cannot go back. You see, this servant realized that the choice he was faced with that day didn't just affect him, affected his wife and his children. Many need to quit being so selfish and realize that the choices they make has an effect upon others. God's people need to stop and consider. We're brought to a point in our life, we have a choice. We can continue to serve the Lord, or we're not. And I know the devil is a master at convincing folks, well, you can leave the master's house but still serve him. No, there is no middle ground here. You leave or you stay. It's that simple. But we need to stop and consider. If I were not to remain with the Lord, if I take such and such a career, if I choose such and such a career that's going to take me out of the Lord's house, or I do this or that, that is going to take me away from God, what is going to happen? Not only to my life, but look at your wife, look at your children, look at your husband. What is going to happen to them? What's going to happen? Oh, they'll be all right. What do you base that on? I know you don't base that on fact. And I know you don't base that on past history. Because past history doesn't back that up. Lot took his daughters to Sodom. And yes, Lot eventually left Sodom. But I want you to know that Lot never got Sodom out of his daughters. Never did. Oh, because of a choice that he made. Oh, before you make that choice, look into your children's eyes. Look at your spouse. And what is going to happen to them because of your choice? And this servant was plainly saying, for their sakes, I can't leave. Can't leave. Fifthly, he was announcing his commitment. Verse 6, then his master shall bring him before the judges. And it was there publicly made known that this slave who had served for 6 years wanted to remain a slave for the rest of his life. And he was publicly committing to that. And the true servant of the Lord wants everybody to know, I love my master. Wants everybody to know that I have made a choice. I have chosen God as my master over all of my family, over everything that goes on in this life. I want it to be made publicly known that I have chosen the master, and I'll spend the rest of my life with him. The true servant of God wants that known. The servant who made his choice to stay with his master showed his commitment. He showed his commitment by having his ear bored through. And that was a symbol of his commitment. Pretty similar to baptism. That baptism, you are publicly declaring that I am going to serve God, that I am going to walk in newness of life, that I am attaching myself to the master's house, and I am submitting myself to the rules of the master's house. And many have lied
in their baptism. They have told a lie. They have gone backwards from what they committed to that day. His servant would have his ear bored through, and what he was saying is, listen up, everybody. I have made my choice, and I'm going to stay with my master. And I'm going to serve him forever. I have made my choice. I choose this man whom I love, and I choose his house in which I have been so blessed, and I place myself under the government and rules of my master's house. Do you think that this servant, when he made his choice, before he made his choice, sat down with his master and began to negotiate the rules? I don't think so. The servant knew the rules of the house. And when he said, I'm not going to leave, guess what he was saying? I'm going to follow the rules of the master's house. And there's another message in that. But are we willing to plainly say, I love my master, the Lord, because I love others also, I will not leave my master's service, but I'll serve him. I'll serve him all my remaining days. Lastly, he plainly said in his choice, I have attached my future to my master. Look at those last words of verse 6. And he shall serve him forever. When the master drove that nail through the lobe of the servant's ear, it went into the doorpost. And for a moment, that slave was literally pinned to that doorpost. He was attached, signaling a permanent bond between him and his master. When that servant had his ear bored through, he had now invested his life. He had now invested the rest of his life to the master. I ask you today, where is your life invested? Because I assure you, it's invested somewhere. To what is your life invested? You see, this servant was saying, I don't know what's going to happen in the future. Whatever it is, it's going to happen with me being with the master. And that's true today. None of us know what's going to happen tomorrow. But whatever it is, I want it to be with the master. He was attaching his future to the master. There's nothing better you can attach your future to. You know, it makes me sick today to hear God's people talking to young people about their future and leaving out the spiritual. That's sickening. And parents do it all the time. And then 6-7 years down the road, I don't know why they're not in church. Open your eyes! You told them to leave the church. Now they didn't have to do it, granted. You push them in that direction. Don't pretend you're innocent. Because you're not. But all we need to think of our future. I don't know. You may make a career choice. This is what I want to do for the rest of my life. Something may happen that you might not be able to do that. There's one thing you cannot go wrong with. I don't know what the future holds, but I'm going to serve God. God is going to be first in my life. Whatever the future brings, I'll put God first. And I'll be with Him. So each of us who are saved, we need to voluntarily choose to serve the one who saved our life. We need to say, I love my Master. I acknowledge my debt, and I'm committed to Him. My entire life is attached to Him and His house. You know, many look at this slave in Exodus chapter 21, and they'll think, what was this slave thinking? Has he lost his mind? He's free to go. He's free to live life as he pleases. He said, I'll not go. I'll stay. It's never a waste of time to serve the Lord. It is never a waste of time to put God first. It is a sad day when God's people who try to put God first are ridiculed by God's people. That's sad. And when God's people look at them and shake their head like they've lost their minds, the ones who put God first are the only ones that haven't lost their minds. Amen. Everyone else has. It's never wrong to live a life pleasing to God. Never. We have freedom in Christ. The Galatians thought that since they had freedom in Christ, they could do whatever they pleased. And Paul corrected that error. Many of God's people who think the same thing. I can do anything I please. I have freedom in Christ. But you see what God wants is illustrated here in Exodus 21. Yes, I have freedom in Christ. That's not a freedom to do whatever I please. But use that liberty to serve the Lord. To serve Him. How many of us can plainly say today with our lives, I have chosen to invest my entire life with God. If that means that I will be forsaken by mother and father, don't want that to happen, but so be it. I have invested my life with God. If that means that I will be forsaken by brothers and sisters in my family, so be it. This is where I have invested my life. They have chosen to invest their lives in other places. Everybody chooses where to invest their life. But you and I ought to be able to say, I have chosen to invest my life with God. If that means that I can't have the career that I wanted, if that means I have to take a minimum wage job, so be it. I have invested my life with the Master. How many of us can plainly say that today? I have made my choice. I have invested my life with God. And by God's grace, I'm not going to leave. This is where I'll die, in the Master's service. Brother Jim, if you'd come and lead us. Verse song.